315, I'll live in glory. Should be up on the board. 315. 315 in your songbooks. All that have it, let us sing. I'd like to stay in glory here. I'd like to stay here longer than men's allotted days and watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven ways. But if my Savior calls me to that sweet home on high, I'll live with him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing love's story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh, yes, I live in glory by and by. I want to be of service along this pilgrim way and lead the lost to Jesus as fervently I pray. As day by day I travel, I'll keep him ever nigh and live with him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing love's story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh, yes, I live in glory by and by. The end I know is nearing. By faith I look away to yonder home supernal, the land of endless day. I'll cling to him forever and look beyond the sky and live with him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing love's story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, no more to die. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. Amen. Let us begin with the prayer. Let's bow. Our dear kind Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity to come again to be able to study another portion of your word, but also to come to your throne boldly this morning, giving you the praise and glory and the honor that's due you in song, and also just acknowledging you as our creator, our provider. You're the one that's with us when we're without other humans around us. You're still there, Father. You're present. Father, we just thank you so much for the provision that you've given us throughout our lives and even what you're providing for us at this very instance. We want to say thank you. Father, we ask that you would continue to be with us this morning as we look into your word, Father. Pray that you would bless us and that you would open up our minds and our hearts and that you would help us to put aside the things that might distract us from study, Father. Help our minds to be able to process the information that we're going to talk about this morning. Father, that it might help us to grow spiritually and that we would strive to be better this year than we were last year and than we ever have been in our lives, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to help us to be humble as we go out and strive to teach others about your will, Father. Help us to live lives in accordance to your will, Father. Help people to know us by our behavior more than what we say, Father, and that the things that we do in our behavior will be in alignment with you. Father, we are so thankful for your darling son, Jesus, who you sent to die on the cross for our sins, Father. We're so appreciative of Christ's death and his resurrection, his ascension, and now that he's making intercession for us, even as we are speaking, Father, he's there on your right hand. Father, help us to always realize that you are God and you're providing, and all the things that we are doing, Father, is because you are allowing us to do that. Father, we just thank you so much for all you continue to do. We ask that you be with those of our number that are ill, that are dealing with sickness. Father, pray that you might bring healing to them. Father, pray that you be with those that are struggling spiritually. Father, pray that they will be strengthened. And Father, pray that you would continue to be with this congregation as we strive to be more and more like you, Father. Help us to grow spiritually. Help us to grow numerically. Help us to be a beacon of light here in Vallejo, Father, that we might reach the lost and that we might help those that are struggling and that many will come to you because of the work that you've allowed us to do here. All these things we ask in your Son, Jesus' name, who died for us all. Amen. All right. So for several weeks, we have continued the study of prayer. And at this time, I want to ask, is there any questions that anyone has about prayer? Is there anything that I may have missed or something that you had questions about concerning the studies we had about prayer? Okay. All right. Very good. So this morning, I want to embark upon Now That You're a Christian. It's a study. It's a beginning type of study. And so the title is What You Must Realize as a Christian. What You Must Realize as a Christian. The first thing that we as Christians should realize is that you are now a child of God. And I think from time to time, people may forget who they are. Sometimes we may forget who we belong to. And I say that because our behavior sometimes isn't becoming of a Christian. And so we must realize that we are the child of God, that we're Christians. The first scripture I want to look at this morning is in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Let's turn our Bibles there. Here John writes, he says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason the world does not know us because it did not know him." And so we must realize that we are children of God. We're in a new relationship. Through Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, we are able to be in God's family. We're children in God's house. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to Timothy over in 1 Timothy 3:15, he uses these words. 1 Timothy 3:15. He says, "But in case I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth." When we think of households, what do you think of? When you think of your household growing up as a child, weren't there certain behaviors that were expected of you in that household? When you bring your friends over, you tell your friends, "Well, my parents want me to act this way. This is the way you behave here." You may not be able to talk like you talk somewhere else, or you might not be able to do certain things. You might not be able to, something as simple as hang out in the refrigerator and see what's in the refrigerator. Maybe that's off limits in your household. Other people, it doesn't matter. They say, "Go, come in and help yourself, make yourself at home." Never tell me that. make yourself at home. But in households, there are expectations, aren't there? Aren't there expectations? There are certain behaviors that are expected. And in the body of Christ, it's no different. When we obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, there were things that we knew we had to change in our lives. In fact, before you obeyed the gospel, there was a thing called repentance. Repent. And what is repentance all about? Anybody? What is repentance about, Daniel? Okay, so turning away from what you were involved in, whatever sin that was, you turned away from that. Okay. Anyone else? Repentance. Melinda? Okay. So changing from a worldly way of thinking to the way that Jesus would want us to act. It always reminds me of people had this campaign going on years ago, what would Jesus do? And I remember before I left Aztec, they had bought up a whole bunch of those little bands to pass out to the kids, what would Jesus do? And it's really cool to think about what would Jesus do? And as you go through that process of thinking about what Jesus would do, you're actually growing spiritually. You actually have an option. So when temptation comes, you ask yourself the question, what would Jesus do in this situation? We know he wouldn't sin, but what would he do? And so repentance is something that we were wanting to do and needed to do before we even got to baptism. Wendy? Yes, yes. So when you talk about what would Jesus do, as Wendy was saying, would you do that in front of Jesus? But what she was implying is that everything that we do in our lives, we're doing it in front of Jesus. Somehow we forget that. Rick? Yes. 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 Yep. It's all right. But everybody knows what the What Would Jesus Do campaign was all about. That it was trying to get people to think about considering the behavior that a Christian should have since they are now Christians. So we must remember that we are now a child of God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 17, the Apostle Paul states that as a child of God, you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Romans 8, 17, we can turn over there. Look at that scripture there. Romans 8, 17. He says, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. In households, we are affected by the decisions that those that are in charge of that household make, correct? The same is true of being a Christian. Jesus suffered, and we as children of God, we're going to suffer for the cause of Christ. We're going to experience challenges in our lives. Has anyone in here ever suffered for the cause of Christ? Okay. All right. Rick?
Yeah, one of my family members was basically.
Okay. All right. What'd you say?
That's a blessing.
It's a blessing? Yes, yes. Yes. Anyone else? Yes. Yes. Huh. Yeah. Yep. It's really interesting. It's always interesting to have a Bible with you. Like if you go to a restaurant, carry one of those Bibles with you, a little one, a big one, and people behave differently. They do. And think about it, if you carried your Bible all the time, maybe you might behave differently. Because it's a constant reminder of who you are and the rules that you follow. You carry that rule book with you all the time. You're reminded of who you are when you have that Bible. And it's always interesting that if you err or do something wrong, people know just enough Bible to correct you. And they might even find the scripture for you. But that just shows you that we still are in a Christian nation. People know the Bible. And that's what makes Bible study so easy in this country is people know some Bible. And some people know where the different books of the Bible are. So when you're having a Bible study with them, it's a lot easier. Though we do live in a Christian nation. But Paul say that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. How does that make you feel to say that you are a joint heir with Christ as a Christian? How does that make you feel? Does it make you want to live a better life? What type of impact, Harold? Humbled and honored. Okay. Anyone else? You're in good company. Yes, exactly. Especially when you begin to unpack who Jesus is. That not only is he the Savior, he's also Creator. When you look at John chapter 1, John just shows who Jesus is. That Jesus was with God in the beginning, before the earth was created. He was there. And so we're joint heirs with Christ. It's really important. So number one, you must realize you are now a child of God. Secondly, you must realize you are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." That's amazing. When we think about us being new creatures in Christ, that should have an impact on our lives, meaning that all of the things that the sin that we had done before, all of that's done away with. We've been born again. We've been born of the water and the Spirit is what Jesus was talking about to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And so we're new. And so as a new Christian, you have new goals. You have new responsibilities. You have new attitudes, new outlooks, and new standards. You're no longer to live as the rest of the world lives. You are to be different because you are to become more and more like Jesus. In Romans 6:4, he says, "Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." We're different. We're a new creation. All that stuff that you've been forgiven of, you need to forgive yourself of. Because that's sometimes a challenge of Christians, even older Christians. I've said at some people's bedsides as they were getting closer to death and they were worried about, are they ready? I was like, wow. I guess this is a good time to make sure you're ready, but they should be ready. They should be prepared because they're in Christ. But they wanted to be reminded of the promises because they were doubting. And we always want to be ready when we leave this place. Some people don't have that opportunity to review and make sure that they're ready. Some people are told, you got 2 weeks to live. Some people say you got a month to live. But then some people, they were here last night and this morning, you got a call about them that they've passed on. And so sometimes people aren't always able to have that review. But I always say is that we should always review every day of our lives. Not only should we think about our relationship with God before we partake of the Lord's Supper and examine ourselves, but examination is something that we should do continually. We should think about our relationship because... God didn't send us a schedule and say, okay, Solomon, on this day you're coming from this life. You're leaving this life. We have to be prepared to leave this life. Amen? We've got to be prepared. But the thing that we've got to realize is that we are a new creation. And as a new creation, that means we are in the process of getting rid of all of the thinking that we used to have. We need to get away from worrying about all the things that we've done that was wrong. We've already let that stuff go. God's already forgiven us of those things. But there's always going to be sometimes somebody that reminds us of something that we did in the past, and it's just really weird. And I don't have people telling me that, but if they do, I'll tell them, God's already forgiven me, and I've already apologized to you. And that's, you got to keep moving on, because things that have already been taken care of, why do you need to keep readdressing them? If it's already taken care of, it's just like a PG&E bill that you've already paid. And if PG&E sends you the bill again, are you going to pay it again? No, you're going to go like this. Hey, here's the, it's paid for. It's already taken care of. And that's the same thing we should tell people. God's already forgiven me of that. I've already apologized for that. But sometimes people have an issue with themselves and forgiving themselves. It may not be other people. It might just be them. Like, I remember I did this when I was 30 years old. You're 60 now. Let it go. Let it go. So we've got to realize that we're new creatures in Christ. We're no longer that old person that died in the watery graves of baptism. We came out of that liquid tomb a new creature in Christ. And that's what's so beautiful about it. That's what's so exciting is we no longer are living that old life. Now we are right with the creator of the world. That's so awesome and so powerful. Vern and then Wendy. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. 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 So we've got to get rid of the things that were in our past life. Before we were baptized, we can't live like that anymore. Sometimes we've got to get rid of those old friends. Because those old friends will say, hey, it's Friday night. What are we doing? Where are we going? And it may not be to the right places. And so you've got to tell them, hey, this is what I'm doing on Friday night. Yes. 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 Yep. So if your friends know that you're truly changed, they really let you go unless they're ready to make that change. So, Tommy?
Here's a very good test. Do all of your friends know you're a Christian?
Yeah. Is it
a mystery?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, that's a good test. Do all of your friends know that you're a Christian? That's, and then Wendy, I'm sorry. Yes. Yes. Yes, yes. Yes. So the you're forgiven of your sins, but then there are consequences of sin. If you really hurt somebody, you know, whether it was your children, whether your spouse or whoever it was that you hurt, there's still the consequence of hurting them. And it's up to them to get past that and you to get past that as a whole together. But as far as God is concerned, your sins have been forgiven. So in heaven, you're taken care of, but you still have business to take care of on earth. There's some things that you need to take care of, the consequences of previous or prior sins. You still have to take care of them, whether it's a crime, just because you're getting baptized in the in prison doesn't mean your sentence is forgiven too, and you get to leave that day. Wow, we'd have more baptisms in prison. Yes? Yes. 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 Yeah, it does. It does. Yep. So it's like we have to understand that we're not earning our salvation. That's a piece that we need to always understand. But it is, like you said, His grace. His grace is covering us. It was grace that sent Him to the cross and showing His, it was love and grace and provision for us to be able to make the decision to obey the gospel so that our sins could be forgiven. So we've got a, yes? Mm-hmm. Yes. 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 Yes, exactly. So you're in a new relationship with Christ and you look at life totally different and your friends know it. So that's good. Tommy?
If we don't understand how we've earned our salvation, it's the same thing as going to a birthday party. Say I go to a birthday party.
Yes.
And people give me gifts and I'm going to take out my credit card to pay for those gifts. No, you don't do that.
No. Yes. Yes.
Something we
are,
just like you said.
Yeah. Yep. It is definitely a gift. It is definitely a gift. Another passage that we should look at this morning is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And realizing that we are a new creation, we must realize Romans 12. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Here Paul says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So we can't conform to the world. We shouldn't look like the world. But it almost, we should be like a, you guys seen space shuttles take off? You see that, all that stuff falling off? That should be us. We should be the ship taking off from the world, getting out of that relationship. We should be breaking away. And you notice how, I mean, you guys, have, most of everybody in here saw the Challenger take off. You saw the Challenger take off, and it was like a program roll. That was all like a program roll, and it was going in a certain trajectory. The same should be true of us as Christians. There's a trajectory. There is a way that we should go, breaking away from the world. We should be different. When people see us, they should know who we are. Oh, that's a Christian there. I know that's a Christian. Because people are watching, and they say, well, we know that so-and-so is going to be leaving the house on Sunday morning at such and such a time. Everybody should know. Everybody should know that when you get in a heated situation, how you're going to behave. You say, well, I remember you were a hothead before, but now you're doing better. Things are changing. Things don't change overnight, though. Don't get it wrong. It took time to get to where we were, to our lives in sin. It took us time to get to where we were and saying that I need to obey the gospel and getting baptized. And it's going to take time to get better and mature as a Christian. It takes time, and we need to be honest with each other. And people aren't as harsh on you as sometimes people might say. People know Christians that are striving to do their best. If somebody works with you, they know you better than maybe your family knows you because they work with you. They've seen the ups and downs at work and the challenges that you deal with. So people are realistic. And so do your best is all I can tell you when you're at work. Do your best because God is on your side and he wants you to win. And so we've got to always remember that. But this thing about what Paul is talking about, renewing our minds, not being conformed to the world, the way that we renew our minds is by studying God's word. This is the roadmap. This is the option. Instead of sinning, what's my option? What God says in the scriptures. What the scriptures are teaching. What's godly? How do you respond to someone screaming in your face? How do you deal with it? You have a choice. You really do. You have a choice. You can stand there calmly, or at least calmly on the outside and pedaling on the inside really fast. But you can calmly address that individual and say, what's wrong? What's going on? And find out what the issue is. Because usually there is a reason why people are acting up. Or acting out. There's always a reason. And it's usually not necessarily you're being the cause. You might be the one that tipped them over. But it was a buildup. And you could see that coming sometimes. Wendy? Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Sometimes walking away is even better. It just depends on the situation. And we all have been in different situations, or at least we've witnessed different situations where there was hostility. But what I think Paul is trying to get us to see here in Romans 12 is that we need to start thinking more like God. We need to start looking at things the way God looks at them. When people challenge us, we need to think of them. I even go on to say in my prayers when I'm praying, is Lord, help me learn to love people like you do. Now, that's a high call, isn't it? That's like, but if we're going to be people of God and God is our Father, we need to start acting like our Father. And the more we begin to act like our Father, the less fear we have in our lives, the more love we have in our lives, the more calm we have in our lives. We begin to look at things not in a stressful standpoint, like when the economy is going out of control and you're looking at your 401k or your money or whatever, you're looking at your the cost of your house, if it's going up or down, all of that type of things. When you start depending on God and thinking like God thinks, those things don't always shake you, because you're reminded and you can go back in your memory and think of all the times that you have fear in your life. It didn't do you any good. It didn't always necessarily do you any good. You weren't in control of it anyway. God was in control. He said he's going to provide for you. So you just got to just trust in God. Let go and let God. I think that's a phrase that people have used before. But our minds need to begin to change. And when your mind begins to change, your behavior changes. And people begin to recognize a change in your life. Sometimes that's the best sermon there, is when people and your friends that were your old friends and they knew how you behaved before, and you start changing your life little by little. It's just like when you go to the gym, you're not the first one to notice that you're looking different and your shape is changing. It's always somebody else. Oh, you've been working out. Well, this is the best change here, when you're changing for the better for Christ. When you're changing as a child of God, your children look at you different. They say, Mom, Dad, you used to act like this. Because our children just tell us like it is. I don't know if your kids are that honest, but my kids are very honest. And they tell me one way or another, Dad, that was a good sermon, or it wasn't, or whatever. They're very honest. I love it. I don't have to guess. They'll just tell me. But that's the environment we've created in our family. It's like, just tell me. I don't have time to guess what you're thinking. Just tell me. Just be honest and open. But people will tell you that you are changing in your life and that you're changing for the better. And in all actuality, wouldn't you want a Christian to be your boss? Wouldn't you want a Christian, if everybody in your office was a Christian and they were changing their lives and being more and more like Christ, wouldn't that be a very awesome workplace to live in or to be in, at least for 8 to 12 hours a day? It's nicer. And even think about your home. If everybody was a Christian and was striving to make changes and to renew their minds and to be more and more like God, how much of an impact that would have on your life? That would be amazing. That would be amazing. But this is what Paul is talking about. We are a new creation. We must realize we're a new creation, and we need to make those changes. Are there any questions about the two thoughts that I've brought out so far? You must realize you're now a child of God. Secondly, you must realize you are a new creation. So the next is, you must realize you are not your own. You are not your own. If you will, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Looking at verses 19 and 20. First Corinthians chapter 6. Looking at verses 19 and 20. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, looking at verses 19 and 20, he says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? It's a lot to realize. It's a lot to realize and to comprehend. how will we unpack these two verses here? Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? That's very powerful. Your body, this body here you got here, it belongs to who? It belongs to who? It belongs to God. Your body, the one that you walked in here with or rode in here with, the body that you have, that you've had all your life. But as a Christian now, it belongs to God. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's very powerful, isn't it? And it says what? And that you are not your own. You are not your own. You can do what you want to do with your body, but you shouldn't, because you've been bought with a price. You've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, and you volunteered to be bought with the price. That's the other piece that I like to bring out. Has anybody in here been thrown in the watery graves of baptism? Raise your hand. I see people raising their hands. It's a trick question. Oh, okay. Somebody dropped you or whatever. No. No. Thrown in. Just thrown in. Well, I asked that question because were you forced to obey the gospel? Or did you decide to obey the gospel? There's a difference. Some people have been pushed to do something that they weren't willing to do. But I'm talking to those that volunteered to obey the gospel. You knew what you were getting yourself into. So you realize that you are being bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 20 says, for you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Meaning that you've given your possession of your body, everything that you're doing, your behavior, everything you're thinking, you've given it over to God. You've dedicated yourself to God. That's what you've done. You've dedicated your life to Christ. Sometimes people think that preachers are the only ones that dedicate their lives to Christ. So they've dedicated their lives to Christ. All they do is the work of God all the time. But that's what every Christian has done. You've decided to follow Jesus. You've been bought with a price. And he says the conclusion there, therefore glorify God in your body. In other words, since all of what I've said before this is true, this is what you need to do. You need to glorify God in your body. If your body's been bought with a price, which is the price of Jesus' blood, his death on the cross, you should be willing to submit your body service to Christ for the rest of your life. That's what that's entailing. That's very powerful. Very, very powerful. I'm going to let you guys soak on that one. That'll be a good scripture to meditate on during this week. Thank you.